In Jesus' name. Dear friends, the psalmist looks back at the Lord's track record, as we can do, and says, hey, you were doing a really good job there. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. In those first three verses of the psalm, we see a nice listing of the way the Lord could be dealing with sinners. Forgiveness, covering of sin, wrath withdrawn, hot anger turned away from. Much better than having that anger directed toward us, that wrath poured out on us, having God's forgiveness withheld. Because if God withholds his forgiveness, nothing else really matters. The psalm celebrates that at some time previous to the time that he's writing, all of this happened. Just like it's happened for you. How many times in your life? How many times has the Lord forgiven you? How many times has he been favorable to you, restored your fortunes, forgiven your iniquity, covered your sin, withdrawn his wrath, and turned from his hot anger just for you? You can't count that high. You have forgotten many of the things that the Lord has forgiven you of. And then you take that and you add the people around you and you multiply it by the people surrounding them and you extend it throughout our land, our world, and you take it backwards into time and forwards till the end of time. How many times has the Lord then been favorable? Restored fortunes, forgiven iniquity, covered sin, withdrawn wrath, and turned from his hot anger. Maybe he's finally getting tired of it, we might say. Because right now things aren't going so well, I'm not feeling so forgiven. And we do get that way sometimes. We know, the Bible says it, I believe it, God forgives sins, but yet for one reason or another, we can't get our heads and our hearts completely around it. We can't grasp that as our own. It doesn't make the promises and the guarantees any less valid. It just makes us what we've always been. Weak, sometimes faithless, sometimes doubting, prone to worry. But God's still forgiving, still healing, still restoring. Of course, when we get older, some of this stuff seems to be farther away, doesn't it? Okay, God's still forgiving me. He's still not pouring his hot anger out on me, but I don't feel like my fortunes are quite as good as they once were. I'm not as young as I was. I can't hear as well as I could. I can't walk like I could. I can't sing and dance the way I could. I don't have the money I used to have. I don't have the health I used to have. But we expect that because living as sinners in a sinful, fallen world, we know that we slowly decay and fall apart. But that doesn't mean that the Lord is not in other ways continually restoring our fortunes personally. And certainly in his church and among the believers, he renews and restores good fortune. Calamity happens, but yet God rallies his people to help those in need. He comes to those who are facing a crisis of faith or the pains of conscience and brings health and healing to them. The full restoration of fortunes, well, even the people of Israel at the time of the psalmist didn't have that. The sons of Jacob would get old and die. They would get sick. They would lose their vigor. They would have problems in their lives. But yet, as a land, as a people, as a church, God continually came to them. Because the fortune that is most important is the fortune of a good relationship with God. And these first few verses have said how he kept doing that. But what about now? Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? So now we have the next three verses that are, what about now, God? And you always have some of that going on in your mind and heart too, I know, because all of us do. You did it before, what about now? I'm the one who's hurting. I'm the one who's at a low point. I'm the one who's not feeling loved or forgiven. I'm the one who is seeing the world going to hell in a handbasket, and it seems like nobody cares, and nobody's going to do anything about it. Whether we're looking at our choices in a national election, or thinking about whoever's bringing God's word to us, or how our family treats us or doesn't treat us, there are plenty of things that are going wrong around us. But most of all, it seems like I don't have the relationship with my Father that I want. Well, God hasn't left us, abandoned us, forsaken us. God is there, not only ready to forgive, but already forgiving, already having forgiven us before we think of it, before we ask for it. His forgiveness comes from Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. His forgiveness comes through our baptisms, through the eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood and the supper. It comes in the words of the absolution. It comes as our families and friends and neighbors forgive us our sin. It comes when we live together in community. God does restore us. His anger is put away. We just don't always sense it and feel it and think about it the way we should. But it's there. The joy of our salvation is a constant, even if we don't recognize it and don't celebrate it. We sing, we pray with Israel then, show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Prove it, God. And we poor miserable sinners demand proof the way Gideon did with the fleece, the way Moses did, the way so many of his people throughout the years have. If you really love me. And sometimes we get some big proof, but usually it's that same old proof that he's always been giving it. Turn to my son. Look to Christ and live. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Nothing new, nothing fancy, just the same old absolute forgiveness of sins, restoration of hope and joy, and the sure and certain guarantee that God loves you now and that he is never going to stop loving you. Your fortune is peaked right now. You are maxed out at 100% of what God can and will give you because God loves you. God forgives you. And God has claimed you as his own. How can you be more fortunate than that? How could things be better than God is not angry? His indignation is not poured out on you. His wrath, the heat of his anger, but instead love and joy and peace. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean we don't have it. But we want God to flip that switch on us so that we do click, we do remember, we do rejoice. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Doesn't he speak peace? You hear it as you hear the words. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. You hear it as you hear the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You hear it every time you hear your sins are forgiven. Every time you hear Jesus loves you. Every time you hear that you are Jesus' little lamb. And the psalm then continues, surely salvation is near to those who fear him. It is so near that sometimes we look past it because it is right here, poured out over us in our baptism, living in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we go looking out for it, we forget that we already have it and that it has us. Not only do we possess God's salvation, but God's salvation possesses us, clings to us, pours over us. And that is what brings the glory into God's land. God doesn't have a physical land the way he did at the time of Israel, but his land is still here. Everywhere that his church sits is his land. We are his people. We are the tribes of the new Israel. And we have all of these wonderful blessings from him. Steadfast love, then, and faithfulness meet. I love this imagery. You've got God's steadfast love and his faithful promises, and then back from us, as we believe and respond, our own faithfulness comes back and greet and hold hands with one another. And even if our grip gets a little weak and frail, God's grip hangs on tight. And righteousness and peace kiss each other. A celebration throughout the ancient world Whenever you had a problem and you resolved it, then you would kiss the kiss of peace. The church did it in its early days. Paul even writes about it in one of his epistles. When you put away your wrath at your neighbor, when you show the entire congregation that you are not fighting and that you are ready to receive the Lord's Supper with a clear conscience, they would kiss in public. You greeted a long-lost friend with a kiss. And even though our Savior was betrayed with a kiss, that was not the intent of doing it with others. It was to show that everything was right between the two. And God's righteousness and God's peace kiss in our presence. They pledge to us that we are holy in God's sight and that we have the peace that surpasses understanding through Him. Faithfulness springs up from the ground and righteousness looks down from the sky as God pours Himself out toward us. And we always have the imagery, God's up there, we're down here. We know that's not strictly the case physically, but it's still a good picture. The rains come down, the crops go up. A hand reaches down and raises up someone who's low. However we look at it here, God's righteousness comes and faithfully we respond. We rise up to look to Him or are raised up into His presence because He bends down to be with us. As Christ bent down, put on the form of a servant, reached down into the mud and the blood and the tears of human existence, and scooped up all humanity and said, "These are mine." And all who believe live in His arms, are cleansed by His blood, and live with Him forevermore. Yes. Yes, the Lord will give what is good. Absolute guarantee. At the beginning, the Lord gave what was good. Then, well, why isn't it happening now? But finally, as we get through the end of this psalm, a song of the church, a prayer of God's people, yes, amen. This is most certainly true. The Lord will give what is good. The Lord does give what is good. The Lord has given what is good. Our land will yield its increase. It may be the crops, it may be the manufactured goods, but those things change. But the increase of God's land is the increase of God's people. God's church will increase, whether in numbers, in faithfulness, in what it gives, in what it does, but certainly always in what it receives. Because the Lord will continue to pour out His grace and mercy on us. Our land, our church, God's holy people will be increased by Him. Righteousness will go before Him and make His footsteps a way. And Jesus picks up on that very imagery, doesn't He, when He's talking to the disciples about the way to the Father. I am the way and the truth and the life. We poor sinners, lost and befuddled, wandering around, wondering if God can ever love us again, wondering if family and friends could love us again, wondering why we feel so down, feel so alone, all of a sudden run up against that one concrete fact. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And with that then come all of those other wonderful facts. God loves me. God forgives me. God claims me. God owns me. God knows me. And God will never let me go. And so then we know the way also. Righteousness went before God's Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and laid out the path for all of us. And we don't have to run after Jesus because Jesus Himself is that way, is that path, is the sure and certain way to eternal glory and peace with our God. The Lord does show us His steadfast love. He does show us His salvation. We see this. We have the evidence, the proof that He loves us because we have the proof that He sent His Son to die for us. And now we go with Him on our way to eternal life. Lord, You were favorable, but Lord, You are favorable to us. And we thank and praise Him for that all the days of our lives, knowing that our lives are without end in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. A peace that surpasses understanding, keep you steadfast in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.